Chapter 15. Confrontation. Anastasia opened her eyes, staring at the ceiling of her room. She dragged herself out of bed and looked around her environment, realizing that she wasn't home, but at Salin's sanctuary. She dressed herself quickly in a dark button-up shirt and blue jeans. She peeked out from her room and down the darkened hallway. Her nose didn't pick up any other scent in the sanctuary except for chrysanthemums and old human blood. The air remained noiseless. She was the only one there. She walked down the hallway and into the living room. The sanctuary didn't look like any ordinary sanctuary. In fact, it symbolized an all-American human home with leather couches, a large flat-screen television, coffee tables, and pictures hanging on the wall. Perhaps Celine had adapted to modern living, or she just didn't bother to change the home she'd stolen from humans. She opened the front door, and in demon speed, she rushed out into the open air, heading to the only place she could free her mind, the human home she visited earlier before Remy arrived. She didn't know why the location came to her suddenly. She just felt a need to go there, to find solace. A place where she could think without being disturbed. During her travels with Lucius, she didn't question the agenda, but now she found herself wondering if she did the right thing for her kind. Normally her trust remained solid when it came to Lucius, but now she found her belief in him shaky. The hunger for blood grew inside her, and no animal blood could cure it this time. She needed human blood, even if she didn't desire it. She stopped near the home and stood across the street. A car drove by, and its bright lights blinded her sight. She hid behind the tree until the car continued and turned the corner. She heard the neighborhood dogs barking uncontrollably at her, and she picked up on the thoughts of a human lingering in the bushes nearby. The human didn't make any attempt to hide her thoughts, and instead the human probed at her behavior. The name Samuel Austin popped into the human's thoughts, which made Anastasia take special notice. She immediately knew whose thoughts she had read. She stood still, her fangs at the ready. "Veronica?" Veronica stepped out of the bushes, and Anastasia turned her head in the direction of rustling branches. Upon seeing her, Anastasia quickly retracted her pointed weapons, and her expression turned dark. "Remy said you'd show up here eventually." Anastasia walked up to her. "Why are you following me?" She glared into Veronica's eyes. "Remy's been all over the city looking for you." "You didn't answer my question." She quickly scanned Veronica's thoughts, but they now came up empty. Like all researchers, Veronica envisioned a brick wall to keep her out of her mind. "We know everything, Anastasia. We know about the dark curse, what you, Lucius, and Celine are trying to do," Veronica said. "And we know that Celine kidnapped my father. Is he at the warehouse?" Anastasia didn't feel a need to respond. She turned around with her back to Veronica. "Is he dead?"
"No."
Anastasia began to walk away from her. "Why won't you tell me?" Anastasia heard Veronica's cautious footsteps following her, and she exhaled an annoying sigh. "Go home, researcher. It's not safe for you out here." "I know you don't like me," Veronica replied. "And guess what? I don't like you either. But I'm begging you, please tell me where he is." Anastasia began to smell the sweet odor of Veronica's blood exuding from her body. She felt her mouth beginning to water and the urge to feed. Veronica quickly walked in front of Anastasia, blocking her path. "Do you really believe that the Brotherhood is just going to let what Celine did slide? They're plotting their revenge as we speak." "I know they are." Anastasia tried to ignore her, but the more the human spoke, the more of trying to avoid her turned into a chore. "What about following Demon rules? What about secrecy? Are you just going to throw that away because you want to find the dark curse and free the pure ones?" Veronica continued to argue. "Do you even know what they are capable of? Have you even heard about the pure ones before now?" Anastasia moved aside, and with her brow scrunched in aggravation. "Go home," she mumbled. Veronica took her chance and remained steadfast in her stance. The pure ones were placed in limbo for a good reason. Anastasia attempted to pass her, but again Veronica moved in front of her. "If you don't want to end up like your father, I suggest you go back to the manor," Anastasia quickly retorted, "because there's no one around to come to your rescue." She stepped in closer, smelling Veronica's salty sweat crystallizing on her chest and forehead. "I need to know if my father is okay." Veronica's breathing increased while she tried to maintain her posture. "I'm not going anywhere until you tell me." A prominent snicker appeared on Anastasia's face. "You think I'd tell you?" She shifted around Veronica, who again positioned herself in her path. "Yes, I think you'd tell me." Anastasia hastily moved forward and, startled by her abrupt movement, Veronica jumped back. "You thought wrong," she replied in a stone-cold voice. Veronica continued to move back, and she slightly raised her hands. "I know that you're loyal to Lucius, to the point that you'll follow him into death if you have to. But what you're trying to do, it's suicide." Anastasia moved in closer, and Veronica backed herself up against a tree, feeling the rigid bark digging into her back. Sweat trickled down the side of her face. "The reason you're still breathing, human, is because I allow it," she pointed at her chest. "My name allows you to live, not that fake protection from Celine or your father's organization." Anastasia growled and opened her mouth slightly, exposing sharp teeth and fangs that weren't present seconds before. Her eyes were obscured and her pupils no longer detectable. She slowly backed away and retracted her teeth. "Now, for the last time, go home." Her eyes returned to a normal brownish hue. "No," Veronica whispered. Anastasia's eyes quickly shifted. For a woman whose hatred for her father was well known, she couldn't understand why Veronica had a sudden change of heart. "If the Brotherhood gives Celine what she wants, then your father will be returned safely," Anastasia said. "If not, he'll die." "So he is alive? And what about Nathan?" Veronica continued. "He took you in, treated you like his own daughter. What about Nathan?" "He's with Kyra right now. That's why he went to Chicago." "You think I don't know this?" Anastasia quickly jerked her head back in Veronica's direction. Veronica's mouth dropped. "You don't care about him anymore, do you?" Just then, the wind picked up, transporting the smell of Demon straight to Anastasia's nose. Her body jittered and she snapped her head to the left, searching the shadows at the end of the street for another Demon, Ramanga. Seeing that Anastasia went on alert, Veronica turned her attention to the deserted street. The streetlights above flickered, and she then turned to look to Anastasia, who stood in front of her. Her fingers quivered, and her back arched while she lowered her stance. "Get out of here!" she barked to Veronica. Veronica hesitated, but she saw slight movement in the darkness, and she stepped back. Out of the darkness, she saw two Demon in midair, launching in their direction. She turned and ran. A male demon with tattered clothes and his face smeared with dried blood landed in front of Anastasia. She smelled his horrid Ramanga scent. As his fangs appeared from his gums, she noticed that the right one was missing and his left fang was cut in half. He jumped on Anastasia and with all her strength she pushed him to the ground. She turned back, watching the other demon chase Veronica down the street. She turned but felt five claws dig into her lower back. The Ramanga male, now on his feet, sank his fangs into the side of Anastasia's neck. She felt the Ramanga's fangs penetrate deeper into her flesh as she watched Veronica, who ran for her life. She then felt the Ramanga's cold arms wrap around her waist and slam her to the ground. Now, over her, the Ramanga raised his hand to strike, but Anastasia moved faster. She placed her hands on the side of his head, and with her strength, she pulled forward, detaching his head from his shoulders. Anastasia kicked the remains away from her before they turned into a pile of blood and dust. She stood to her feet and looked for Veronica, finding her laying on the street, motionless, under a fluttering streetlight. Her demon attacker crouched over her. She jumped, airborne, her teeth extracted, and she growled loudly enough to grab the demon's attention, giving the rabid beast enough time to throw Anastasia aside. She landed on the grass, sliding a few feet and knocking into the white picket fence of a nearby home. She jumped to her feet and the demon came at her, slashing. Its fingertips nicked across Anastasia's lips. Quickly, she knocked the demon on its back and pinned its shoulders against the sidewalk. The demon snapped at her, its fangs clicking together like high heels moving along pavement. Anastasia's eyes and ears moved to Veronica, her efficacious hearing picking up her faint heartbeat. She turned back to the demon, realizing that the creature had drained Veronica of blood. "You're foolish to come after me," Anastasia whispered. The creature snapped at her again, and Anastasia felt its warm breath on her forehead. She attempted to read its thoughts, but she came up with nothing. Agitated, she lifted her hands and clawed at its chest, digging deeper and deeper until she met bone. The demon released an abysmal grunt in pain, and its limbs shook. Anastasia continued scraping at its chest. She bit into it and yanked her head back, pulling on flesh until it ripped from its bones. Its blood glissaded down her throat, and immediately she felt that the tarnished liquid burning her throat. It would have made sense to stop, but she continued, thinking about nothing but the massacre carried out by her hands. It was intrinsic and in her nature. She continued her rampage until she was covered head to toe in its blood and flesh. Her hands reached its blackened heart and she yanked it out, tossing it to the side. She stood up and stepped back. With Lucius's pure blood in her own veins, draining the blood from a demon should have given her a palatable feeling, like a high. Instead, it made her lightheaded and dizzy. The feeling grew abnormal and her body convulsed, dropping her to her knees. She looked to her hands, as if they were going to give her assistance. Never had she felt this atrocious. Something wasn't right. She looked back at Veronica and contemplated leaving her to die where she laid, but her morality superseded her hunger. She swaggered over to her and lifted her loose body in her arms. Veronica moaned and her eyelids lifted halfway. She moved Veronica's head to the right, noticing two deep bite marks in her flesh. "Don't worry, I have you." Anastasia held onto Veronica tightly, and she took off in demon speed to Blind Bluff Manor.